back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Friday morning. If you want to get in, try to shoot us a text, 251-343-0106, and we will, if time permitting, we'll respond. Joining us now, he is the returning champion of the Jeff Poor Show. State Senator Chris Elliott is on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. The rain is finally gone. South Alabama, looking forward to getting out of the boat this afternoon. So it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, the rain. Oh, man. I'm so glad that rain has left our area. Can you confirm or deny that you will not be Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of Commerce?
I will not be Donald Trump's secretary, and I just don't know that I've got Washington in me any way, shape, form, or fashion. I like South Alabama entirely too much to leave it.
Well, there's a little breaking news for you, ladies and gents, right there. Chris Elliott will not be in Donald Trump's cabinet. Anyway, let's move along here. State politics, I got to ask you, I mean, pro tem race, the reports that Senator Reid is stepping down from not only just the pro tem spot, but also the Senate altogether, opening that seat up, but also setting off sort of a, you know, the domino effect here, changes of leadership. What are you hearing?
Yeah, this is a really big deal, and it's going to be a big deal for most senators who are currently in office. This is likely to be the pro tem for the balance of our time in the Senate. If you look at how long a senator usually serves, most of the body, this will be the guy for the rest of the time. So it's a very big deal. I have talked with Senator Reid. He has confirmed that he is stepping down as pro tem and is taking another position. So that will leave not only a Senate seat open, but certainly the very important spot of pro tem. And I think the race is clearly between Senator Gudger, Garland Gudger from Cullman, and the current majority leader, Senator Steve Livingston. And, you know, we'll have to see. We are scheduled and have been scheduled to have a caucus meeting next week in Birmingham, early next week in Birmingham. And so that will be the topic of conversation, I'm confident of, and we'll see how all that turns out.
And I, you know, I was kind of went on a little bit of a rant this morning about what an important deal this is. And it comes at a time when no one is paying attention, right? It's all about the crazy cabinet appointments and whatnot. But I mean, to be honest with you, and we talk a lot about state issues on this show and state political maneuvering, Senator, like the Senate, who controls the Senate really establishes sort of the culture of that chamber, right?
Oh, this is a huge deal. I mean, the choice here in my mind is between, you know, kind of the tried and true, the same thing we have been doing, or frankly, a younger generation stepping up and taking control over you know, the legislative body, the Senate. And I think that's a very big deal. You know, again, this is going to be a big deal and have a big impact on Alabama politics for a very long time. And I would argue for most Alabamians, you know, who is the, you know, the present pro tem of the Senate is probably a more important thing than who leads the Department of Justice at the federal level. There's just more impact on people's daily life and what that looks like. And our ability to get things done in the Alabama Senate is going to be in no small part, you know, decided by who the pro tem is.
I'm for whoever will kind of put the at least stop some of the Democrat time wasting on the floor. Is that just like a reality of life that no matter who is pro tem, we're going to have to live with Roger Smitherman telling us what he had for lunch every afternoon?
No, it's not. It's not. And we, you and I've talked about this before. Legislators, especially senators, have the ability to filibuster. It is in our rules. There are ways to deal with that. There are cloture petitions, and you can shut that debate down and move on. And I, for one, don't think we necessarily do that often enough. But there's another way to do that, and that is, you know, to have good relationships with the other side of the aisle and to understand where they're coming coming from, make sure their voices is heard, are heard, but to exercise the 27-member supermajority that we have out of the total 35 members of the Alabama legislature. And so there is a way to balance that. Again, that's not, in my opinion, been as done as well or to the extent that I would like for it to be done. And so I'm hoping that the next pro tem will be able to be more effective with that. And again, no, certainly not casting any dispersions on the current pro tem at all. I think there are some different skills being brought to the table. It is certainly with one candidate that will allow us to move more efficiently and more effectively.
We're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Let's talk the story that doesn't go away ever. Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Senator, yeah, I know. It's just Greg Davis. I mean, not Greg Davis, but Kent Davis, the former, now former commissioner of the VA. He's kind of on a PR tour right now. He's doing a bunch of interviews, and you know, he's a bunch of different places. And so it's brought to my attention that, look, you know, this is what this guy does. He's very good at this sort of PR campaign. You guys need to be aware of that. Okay, fine, but what I'm not getting, and this is my biggest gripe, and I don't know if it's lawmakers. If somebody in leadership said, hey, you cool it. We're going to let the governor take the lead here. She called a fair catch. But when you try to get the other side of the story, and I think there is a big side of this story that's not really being told, but when you pursue it, it's sort of like, well, do you really need to know? We'll handle it, Sugar Plum. You go back you go back to yelling into your microphone and whatever, and let the adult, and we'll take care of this. Don't you, bless your little heart. Or I feel like, you know, there's just sort of this condescension about this when I think there is a legitimate balance to be achieved here. It's just the other side just does not care about the court of public opinion one bit.
Well, they don't, and they don't have to. And that is the problem, certainly, with somebody who is, you know, is in a terminal position in politics, right? They're not going anywhere else. This is, they don't have to be responsive or responsible to the people anymore. It is really just a waiting out the clock time frame. And so they do whatever they want to do, whether that's, you know, terminate by supreme executive authority or whatever the term was, you know, a board, or excuse me, an executive director that's, you know, that's hired by an entire board who did not vote to remove the commissioner, or you build a West Alabama corridor out of 100% state funds and don't even try to go get any federal funds for it. I mean, those types of decisions are made by folks that just don't have to worry about being accountable to the people of the state of Alabama. And it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot for legislators to be in, because at the end of the day, it is the governor's call. And whether it's popular, whether it's reasonable, or whether it makes sense to us, or whether it's something that would cause us not to vote for her again, it has no impact on or bearing on her decision, because it doesn't matter to her. Well, and that is the situation we find ourselves in.
Well, that's just it, though. Then maybe somebody else needs to kind of, besides Jeff Poor or Chris Elliott or whoever, you look around both chambers of the Alabama legislature, and people seem to be a little shy talking about this.
Well, giant surprise, I'm not. But I am realistic in that you're not going to change the governor's mind. She is one tough cookie, and when she makes up her mind, she's going to do what she wants to do. And certainly in a situation like this, she has got it in her mind that Commissioner Davis needed to be removed, and she is not one to reconsider those types of decisions. She's made up her mind. It is what it is, and there is no amount of pressure that is going to change her mind. And well, so I think this, like other positions she's taken, is just one of those things that we're going to have to deal with for the next 2 years and 2 months, and then there'll be somebody else.
Now, hear me out here. They want to remake the Veterans Affairs apparatus in state government over in the next legislative session. That sounds like that's something that they're going to try to bring it in. do away with the way it is and bring it into the governor's circle there. If they want to do that, it's going to take you guys in the legislature to say, okay, thumbs up or thumbs down. And I think this is why this silence from a lot of lawmakers, especially lawmakers who head these, you know, committees, is a little concerning to me. Like, this is they already got their designs on what they want to do, and they're just going to do it, and, you know, whatever the public thinks, we don't care.
Well, that's an awfully big risk to take, in my opinion, because it could embarrass the administration, because at that point, all of those veterans that are really upset about the decision that's been made by the governor are then going to be calling their elected officials and saying, don't do this. And then the legislature gets involved in the middle of whether or not this dismissal was a good idea. And I would caution the administration from taking that type of action. I think that's not a good move. I think it could lead into a situation where the governor gets embarrassed because a proposal of hers is not taken up by the legislature or is taken up and then fails. Because at the end of the day, the veteran community across the state is really perturbed. And they are going to let members who are not at the end of their political career know their feelings and know their thoughts on this, and are going to hold them accountable. And if folks like me or you know, other House members or senators don't listen to the veteran community on this and choose instead to go along with what Governor Ivey may ask to happen, that's going to be on them, and that won't end well for them, I don't think.
We're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott on the program. It's kind of tangentially related to this, and I've been talking about this the last maybe couple of days. How you fell out of favor with the governor's office, and we know the ATRIP 2 stuff, and we know why, because of the new stance you took on the toll bridge, and, you know, then it dies. And then, you know, the governor, she exacted her revenge. But you kind of come back around, right? Like, there's sort of a good relationship there. I think this, and tell me, you know, the House is there's 105 members. They tend to do what they're told. They don't step out of line, generally speaking. There's maybe two or three that will, but no one seems to take them seriously. The Senate, they can't do that, right? The governor can get mad at a senator, but one senator, and this would be you in the circumstance, could really mess things up in that chamber. You know, because you're not going to cloture a Republican, one would assume, on things. But they got to keep you guys who are in the upper chamber at least have a good working relationship, right?
Well, and I think that goes both ways. I mean, it really does. And so it's important for the governor's office and for the Senate and individual senators to realize that we may disagree on particular issues, but there'll be another issue in 5 minutes or an hour or the next day. And you really have to clear the board and start over. And I think I try to do that with the governor's office, and they've been reasonable enough to try to do that with me, where our policies and politics align. We get along fine and work together. And when they don't, we butt heads and, you know, cross swords and go at it. And I wouldn't have that any other way. But you're correct. The Senate has a unique, and individual senators have a unique way and ability to slow things down, to thwart things, and especially committee chairs and you know, the ability to filibuster ourselves if there is an issue that we don't want to see come up. And so that keeps everybody being cordial, and it keeps everybody on a more even playing field.
I mean, the governor calling y'all a herd of turtles, and in some ways, I look at this VA stuff, and I'm like, maybe they are a herd of turtles. We're not really hearing from people. If indeed what is being alleged is going on, and, you know, I think there's probably more to this entire story, Senator, and you probably do too, but no one's stepping out of line to talk about it. And I don't like this kind of collusionary sort of relationship between two branches of government.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons is that this pro tem election is going to be so crucially important for the people of the state of Alabama. You know, there are only 27 members in the caucus, likely only 26 that will vote. You know, that means the person that wins 14 votes will be the next pro tem. And the temperament of that person and their willingness to stand up to the executive branch or their willingness to work with the executive branch and our colleagues in the House is going to be so crucially important as far as standing up for conservative causes, pushing back on issues that need a little bit of pushback. And so the tenor of that body is set by the pro tem, and that election is really, really something to watch here in the next week.
Have you made up your mind, or are you still waiting to see?
If it is between Senator Livingston and Senator Gudger, which I have every reason to believe it will be, I will be casting my vote for Senator Darlin Gudger. He is a good friend. He's a good friend for South Alabama. He understands our issues. He is young and energetic and assertive and aggressive. And to the extent we have policy differences, I feel like my position gets heard, considered, and valued, and you can't ask for more than that out of a pro tem.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. Enjoy this weather, but we'll do this again next week.
Thanks so much for having me. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott, they're our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't know what's wrong with me, because I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers.